Okay, this week is Parashas Vayikra. This is a very special parash, very special week. We take out three Sifrei Torah. How often in life, how many times in life do we have the opportunity? We have every year a Simchas Torah, but during the course of the year, it's not that common. Not that common. Shabbos Chanukah's potential, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shabbos Chanukah and Parsha Chodesh. That's it. These are the two paths. These are the only two times. Is that correct? The only two times?
Yeah.
Where it's possible to take out three Sifrei Torah. We mentioned last week, we discussed four Sifrei Torah. If Chas Shalom last week you forgot to learn Parsha Sparah, anyone daven in the shul they forgot to learn Parsha Sparah last week? You were trying to convince him to forget. you were reminding him to forget. If you forgot to lay in Parashas Parah last week, then this Shabbos you would take out four Sifrei Torah, according to some opinions, for the Kriyas HaTorah, for Parah Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh. But we have three Sifrei Torah. Now, what is fascinating about this week's Parsha is it's all about a new beginning. Obviously, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in time, it's not that common for Rosh Chodesh Nisan to fall out on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Nisan most of the time falls out in the middle of the week. This year we have the unique experience that it's Shabbos, and Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, next year also?
Yes, thank you.
So Rosh Chodesh, it's a Chodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodashim, it's a new year, it's Mamash Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Tishrei, according to Chazal, was the Rosh Hashanah for, was Olah B'machshavtai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a machshava to create the world on Aleph Tishrei, but in reality, the world unfolded and came into existence, according to Chazal, according to Rabbi Yeshua, on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. It's not a Yom Hadin, but it's the beginning of the new of the world. It's the Rosh Hashanah L'Molochim, the calculation of dates, the months. It's a serious time. It's a new beginning, but it's not the only beginning of this Shabbos. Number two, we lain Parshas HaChodesh, and the lain the Kriyas HaTorah of Parshas HaChodesh HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodashim is what Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah, tells us should have been the beginning of the Torah. That speaks volumes. Even though the Torah, the world was created with the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. And Rashi says that ideally, the real beginning of the Torah is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, what we're going to lay. And the only reason why we started with Bereishis was because of other reasons. Koyach Masav Higel Yamo. We needed it, but the true machshava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have desired, the ideal beginning of the Torah is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, what we lay. So that's already two beginnings. And then there's a third beginning. Because Chazal tell us that the year that in ancient times, time Chazal, it's even done today in some places, children they start with Vayikra. Yavoi tohoirim v'yasoik b'taharas. Let the little children who are pure, let them be oisik in korbanos, which bring purity to a person and which represent the taharas on Shel Yisrael. So it comes out, we have a chut hamishulosh of new beginnings to Shabbos. We have in Zman, an actual time, it's the beginning, the anniversary of the beginning of the creation, and every year it's a new beginning, beginning of the new months. It's 1-1. It's 1-1 tomorrow. It's the beginning of the new year. It's a beginning in Hashem's Torah. It's the ideal haschol of the Torah. It's a new beginning, like Simchas Torah tomorrow. He's starting the Torah fresh. And it's also a Zman of Tahara, where the children, the purity of Klal Yisrael, when they begin the Torah, Yavoi Tohoirim V'yaseik B'Taharas. Why is it winning Chayrus? So it's all part of the Chayrus. It's a Hasholah. So we should not underestimate the Eis Ratzon. Shabbos tomorrow is a very great Eis Ratzon. And to have a little more Kavanah would be ideal, to come a little bit early to davening. We should not underestimate the Kedusha that is to be found in this coming Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, now let's go to some other ideas. The first Rashi, we know this, let's dwell upon the first Rashi. Vayikra el Moshe, Yavoi, Tehoidim, V'yasek, B'taharos. The first thing that children are taught is Parshas Vayikra. What's the first word of Parshas Vayikra? Vayikra el Moshe. Rashi tells us what is the significance of the word Vayikra. It's the very first Rashi. L'chol dibrois, l'chol amirois, l'chol tzivuyim, kodma kriya. The word kriya comes first. Why is the word kriya used in reference to a dibur and to an amira? Because l'shoin shemalachei hasharis mishtam shembo. Because it is the expression that the angels use when speaking one to another. The Korah, Ze El Zev Yamar. How many times do we say that in davening? We say that multiple times. It's Lashon of Chiba. What is so fascinating is this is the first thing you're supposed to teach children. If Chazal tell us that the first thing you teach children is Chumash Vayikra, Yavai Tarim Yasek Vitaharos, and the first Pasuk of Vayikra is Vayikra El Moshe, and you explain to them the reason why the Torah used the word Vayikra is because it's a Lashon of Chiba. When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem spoke with Chiba. Every Amir, every Dibur came with Chiba, with love. And the word, we know the word is the word of love because this is the word that is used by the Malachi Hasharis. It's a word of Malachi Hasharis. And let me ask you a question. Where do we find Malachi Hasharis? Where do we find that Chiba by Malachi Hasharis? Malachi Hasharis, they speak to one another. You have to use some expression. You can use the word Amir or Dibur. Why is this word a proof that there is love in reference to the Malachi Hasharis? So the answer is so simple. Unfortunately, the most obvious things we don't realize. We say every single day in davening, V'yayifan in the Chayis HaKodesh. Now before that, before Malach opens up his mouth to say something, to give kavod to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing they do is v'noistim reshus ze lo ze. They have respect for one another. Chazal say, "Molei moroho ish es re'eu chayim b'loho." If not for fear of government, which also means one person, one human being would literally eat up his fellow human being. Malachim are the extreme opposite of human beings. Naturally, the noisnim reshus ze lo ze. They live. That's another gear. So different. That's the nusach svart. Ba'ava. They creates peace due to the fact that there is the ultimate moira, fear in heaven. Memela, they have ilmoli moira ish esrei chayim bilal. So when there is moira, man does not only not swallow up one another, man has the ultimate respect for one another. The malachim who live in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are filled with Yerushamayim, they have the ultimate respect, and that's the chiba. The Kara Ze El Ze V'Yamar, the reason why the word Kara is Lashon Chibit, when the Malach speaks to the other, it's done first with permission, respect. And this is the first thing you teach a child. Have respect for your fellow man. Fortunately, we're not children anymore. But sometimes we need to go back to the basics. We need to go back. And Parashas Vayikra, Yavoi, Tehoidim, V'Yasek, B'Taharos, we're all children. Well, look at the proving rolls. Look, everyone has an electronic gadget on you. Everyone has a gizmo, some electronic. Who has the electronic gadgets? The children. All the adults today are the children. Yavoi to hoidim yasek b'taharos. In fact, last week was Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah really should have come after Parshas Achodesh, because in the time of Atan Torah first came Achodesh Elohim, then on the second day of Nisan came Parshas Parah. But Chazal tell us that Tahadoson Shel Yisrael is the Ikar. And therefore we have to be marked in Parshas Parah to Parshas Achodesh, so we will be Geder to Hoirim. And now we come and we identify with the children this week and we read Vayikra, and the first lesson we learn when we enter into the new year is respect. The noistinim reshus ze lo ze lahakdish liyotzram benachas ruach. When there's respect, everything from there follows naturally.
No.
Ooh. Don't say that over in the Samachim.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Vayikra el Moshe. Rashi, all you can't open up a drush sefer and not take note. The first far will expound upon the small aleph. Why is Vayikra spelled with a small aleph and not a regular size aleph? So Rashi answers the question. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his humility, did not want to reveal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him with Chiba. Moshe, in his humility, felt that he's no better than Bilam. In reference to Bilam, the pasuk says, "Vayikar Hashem El Bilam." Hashem just happened to meet. It was almost an accident. Hashem happened to meet Lashon of Mikra, and Moshe felt that he's not any better. He's not any more deserving than Bilam. So, in his humility, he wanted to hint to that point. He wrote the Aleph with a small Aleph, as if to say, "You can ignore the Aleph. Just read it." Vayikar El Moshe. Hashem happened to meet Moshe. It was nothing special. Okay, that is the simple interpretation of this Chazal. Vayikra is Lashon of Chiba, is love, and Vayikar is cold. Just a casual conversation. It's no big deal. Hashem has no special love for Bilam. It was just a political meeting, just to get a message across. But perhaps there's something a lot deeper, because the place where we find Moshe Rabbeinu being defined as an onav is in Parashas Naso, when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe to Aaron. Her complaint was that Moshe Rabbeinu was Pareish Mi'ishtoi. Moshe Rabbeinu has separated himself permanently from his wife, which she felt was not gzuntai, which she felt was not proper for anyone. That's not right to separate himself, to deny Tzipora a husband. And so she complained, and Aaron listened, and what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset, and Hashem said to Miriam, she was stricken with saras, and Hashem said to Miriam, "How dare you speak Lashon Hara about Moshe? Moshe is onav mikol ha'adam. Moshe is the most humble of anyone." That's what the pasuk of onav mikol ha'adam is said in Parashas Nos, when Hashem responded to Miriam, and Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. I speak to him at any single moment in time, and he has to be prepared for prophecy. And if a person is with his wife, he is tameh, and he's not available 24/7. And to illustrate the point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Pissam," suddenly to Miriam, "I want to speak to you." And Miriam was tameh, and Aaron was tameh, and they were unable to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu illustrated the point by demanding to speak to Miriam and Aaron Pisaim, and they were unable to do so. They then understood that Moshe Rabbeinu also at times needed to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu Pisaim, and that's why he had to be in a state of readiness.
The Vayikar is even stronger.
So that's the point I want to make. Is there's a much deeper interpretation of the word Vayikar. The word Vayikar, let's just jump ahead to Parashas Kisetze. Parashas Kisetze, we learn about the Parash of Kan Tzipor. Kan Tzipor. And the Parash of Kan Tzipor begins with the word Ki Yikorei, Kan Tzipor Lefonech. Chazal tell us that Kan Tzipor is a mitzvah kala. It's a lightweight mitzvah. All the Mepharshim, why is it a lightweight mitzvah? Today, if you open up the newspaper, they charge plenty of money. A lot of money. If you want to go to the Kan Tzipor, people are looking for schoolers, whether it's a good thing, not a good thing. The people they want Kan Tzipor, people make a parnasa from this. What do you mean it's a mitzvah kala? So Chazal answer, because in Ikar Hadin, you cannot prepare for the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. Every mitzvah, tefillin, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the mikveh 10 times and say L'Shem Yichud and learn Musar, prepare hours and hours to mekayim any mitzvah. Chasidim, L'Shem Yichud, it's all in the hachon. Every mitzvah, you know when it's going to be, you know what to do, there's a process of preparation. You can't prepare for Kan Tzipor. You're traveling, you don't know there's going to be a bird's nest. There's no way you can possibly prepare. Therefore, Chazal said that's a mitzvah kala. It's a lightweight mitzvah. Any mitzvah which does not involve preparation is kala. A mitzvah that requires preparation is a heavyweight mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, put himself in the matzav. Where? Now, let's take a step back. There are two possible ways for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate with man, either through Vayikra, to call, or Vayikar. Now, we know the similar interpretation where we contrast the word Vayikra with Bilam, where it says Vayikar. But there's a much deeper interpretation. Hashem can call a person, can summons a person with the word Vayikra. That has a connotation, prepare to meet me. I'm calling you up, I'm inviting you to the palace. we're going to need, when we use the word vayikra, it has a connotation, I'm giving you an appointment. Formal. 3 days from now. What an invitation.
Formal.
When there's a formal appointment, you prepare. You book a flight, you book a hotel, you get a new suit, you go to mikvah, you do what you need to do, you prepare a speech, every single word is measured, there is a process of preparation. You may even hire a company, a service, to prepare you.
Photographer to take pictures.
The word vayikra has a connotation, there's an enormous degree of preparation. It's enormous. The word vayikar means it can happen at any moment in time. So when you're dealing with, let's say you're dealing with a business associate, let's say you're in a position of power and people want to speak to you, or even if you want to go speak to someone, you know, I have my own life and you have your life. If we're going to get together, so we'll plan. I'm not going to drop everything on a moment's notice to come and meet with you. You're not so important. If you call up, if someone calls up who's not so important, I want to meet with you, I want to do business with you. Oh, you want to do business with me? All right, next week I'll put you in my calendar. I'll prepare for a time that's good for me, because right now I am more important. I have more important things to do. So, Vayikra, you're calling to me. I'll prepare to come to you when I'm ready to come to you. In my time and when I'm interested. But if you are so important, if the President of the United States or whatever it is, a so important, calls you, I'm here. I'm at your service. But when you're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you just can't be at his service. You have to be spiritually ready. You have to completely be mevatel yourself and put yourself in a state of preparedness that you can respond at a moment's notice. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu described Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Nosa.
That it all began by Yibaderach Hamalon. That's what some of the Yabarakunel
meant. Yeah.
That's where it began. In other words, that's when he was Poresh. By if Hashem, by Yivakesh Hamiso, because... What do you think you're doing? He took his wife and kids, and now you're not ready. I wanted to talk to you. That's what kills me. That's what almost...
Okay, that's the idea. So you have to be in a state of...
So he took his wife home.
So you have to be prepared at all moments. That is the way Hashem described Moshe's humility. We have to go to the source. The source of humility is the Parshas Noso. Moshe's on of me kol ha'adam. How is this humility expressed? That he's always ready to for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, ki yikore kan sipar. Moshe Rabbeinu does not need an invitation. An invitation vayikra, has a negative connotation in this sense, because vayikra, I told you the pashtra we know is endearment, lashon chiba, but vayikra also has a connotation of distance,
formality.
You need to be invited. If you need to be invited, it means you're not ready. Why you're not ready? I have more important things to do. The fact that the aleph is absent in vayikra, it's a small aleph, which signifies we're going to remove the aleph and we're going to say vayikra. Just the opposite. The Jewish says this is the greatest humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Vayikor El Moshe. And I know Bilam, it says Vayikor. There it's used in a negative context by Bilam. But by Moshe, Vayikor is in the positive. Is the greatest kavod for Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was always in a state of being prepared. He did not need the formality of Vayikor. Because when there's formality, then implies there's distance. I'm not ready for you, Hashem. I got to get myself in a frame of mind. I got to get myself Torah. I got to come. I'm not, why? Because I'm more important. I have more important things to do. But when you're always ready for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need Vayikra, you can be Vayikar. This is what the Pasuk is hinting to and telling us, the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu. The small Aleph is indicating that Moshe Rabbeinu was an on of Mikol HaAdam, because he was ready for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a moment's notice. He did not need the formal invitation. He was always in a state of Vayikar.
You'll be frakid from another.
No.
Because another means I have to prepare. I'm always ready for the Shekhinah. Oh, wow.
No, that means, what do you mean, why are you always ready for the Shechina? Because I'm a vatal myself, that's the greatest anava. This is a different interpretation than the Kav. I'm a vatal myself to your Kodesh Baruch Hu to such a degree that I'm always ready. And that's explicit in the Pasek. That's what it says in Parashas Noso. Hashem said to Miriam, what's the difference between you and Moshe? Moshe is on of Mikol HaAdam because Moshe is always ready. It's explicit in the Pasek, this idea.
When the president calls a different foreign leader, first the secretary gets on and says, the president called to
him. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to another short.
A phone call from one.
Okay, let's go to another short idea.
Purim was a week before. Okay,
this week is also Shabbos. We mentioned this idea, so I want to tie this idea into this week's parasha. We mentioned this idea in the past that when Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the week, so we say that we have in the regular Shemona Esrei and we add Yah Levi Yavam. And we have Musaf, the Musaf is Rosh Chodashim, we have Chanasat, Nasata, Zman Kaparu, Lechol, Tolosan. We have a Nusach for Musaf. We would expect that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we should say either the regular Musaf, the Shabbos Musaf, Ed in the Yah Levi Yavam. Or maybe we would recite the Musaf that we recite during the week, Rosh Chodashim Liam Chonosata, Zman Kapar L'chol Tol Dosan, and it in a Shabbos, and it in of a Shomru, or it in the Kurbanos of Shabbos. But yet, this is something that is very, very significant. When Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, we have a new Nusach. Ato Yotzarta Olam Chamikadem. It's a new nusach. And if you look carefully at the nusach, you'll take note that the nusach parallels the nusach of the Shalosh Regalim. It's just like the same Shalosh Regalim. Tomorrow, Shabbos, it's Mamish Pesach. It's Pesach, it's Sukkot, it's Shavuos, Haloi Davar. And the Farshim tell us that in Echnami, that when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide, it's not just Shabbos that happens to be Rosh Chodesh. It's not just Rosh Chodesh that happens to be Shabbos. The combination is lethal. The combination catapults the day to a whole new sphere that cannot be achieved with each one by itself. It's a whole new madrega when the two come together. Now this has even greater meaning when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide on Parshas Vayikra. Chodesh also, as we said, we started with, but even when you add to the equation Parshas Vayikra, it's a very beautiful Vard. The beautiful Vard begins, Vayikra is to some degree the beginning of the Torah for children. There are three expressions used in the first pasuk of Vayikra. Vayikra, Kriya. Kriya begins with a kuf. Then it says Vayidaber, Dibur. Dibur begins with a dalit. And then Vayidaber Hashem Elov me ohel moed lemar amira. Amira begins with an aleph. Wait a minute, I'm in trouble now. What am I saying over here? No, this doesn't make sense.
Nope.
But let me say it anyway. Where did I go wrong? Okay, I guess what it means is the three letters, Emor, Amira, the main syllable is not the Aleph. That's what you have to say. I don't know why I didn't pick this up. But the main syllable of the word Amira is the Mem. This pasuk O has three expressions. The Kriya, Dibur, and Amira, which spell, assuming that the syllable, the main syllable of the Amira is the Mem, is Kedem. Kedem means from before. That all of the Diburim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael in all the various forms, whether it was Kriya, whether it was Dibur, whether it was Amira, all the various forms of communication, this is something which preceded the world. It preceded the world of the Torah was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. Torah is the blueprint for creation. Torah is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. When we daven, we speak to Hashem. When we learn, Hashem speaks to us. Hashem speaks to us in various expressions. Kriya, Dibur, Amira. The three different forms are the Rosh Tevos, Kedem. And therefore, it's not to be taken lightly the fact that the Nusach on Rosh Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh begins, Ato Yotzarta Olamcha Mikedem. Mikedem. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Parshas Vayikra. Vayikra begins with these three words, and these three words is Kedem, and even in the Nusach itself, we're connecting the two together. Yetzarat Elamcha is Shabbos. It's also Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the world began with Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Alechem, and it's also Mikedem, and this original creation came with the Koyach HaKedusha and the Koyach of Torah, which is Merumas in the word Kedem, Kikriya, Dibor, and Amira. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw this idea. I don't remember where I saw this idea. Let me try to think where I saw this idea. Maybe I think of Rav Schwab. Could be. I think of Shimon Schwab. Maybe I'm mistaken. It's not the idea. Is not what I'm going to say. Is not what I saw there. But the idea for this thought is present. There is a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, if an Ani wants to bring a carbon of an Asher, is he allowed to do so? There's a whole collection of carbonates. So the Mishnah says it can. We'll get to, you're talking about the chinuch or something else. So that's what we're coming to. It's a contradiction. Mm-hmm. Now there are different.
Oil or not.
But let's say we're dealing with the case of a regular carbon chatas. A regular carbon chatas, if you cannot afford to bring a carbon chatas, well, I've got the various types of carbonos. There are only two different types of carbonos. You bring either an animal, you bring either a kivsa or a seira. And if you can't afford to bring a kivsa or seira, you bring a mincha. You bring a flower, that's by oil of yoreit. Oil of yoreit, but generally speaking, there are two different types of carbons. Either there's a carbon, you bring a carbon of an animal. If you can't afford to bring an animal, then you bring a carbon mincha. Then there is a category called carbon oil of yoreit. It's very limited. A shavu, if a person swears falsely, or a person, a mitzora. Is a mitzora one of the examples? I think a mitzora. I think a yoled, a mitzora. I don't remember. There are certain categories in this parasha. There are certain categories of sin, very limited, where you have three choices. You have either an animal for the very wealthy, the super rich, and then the middle class brings birds, and the poor, the destitute, brings a flower. So there are two different categories of carbonos. Generally, there are two different levels. There's for the wealthy and for the poor. The wealthy brings animals, the poor brings a mincha. Then there's the class called oila v'yor. It's a limited class of sins at the end of the sixth parasha, I think right before shishi, in that area of the parasha, of oila v'yor. After shishi, there's a class of carbonos, oila v'yor, where there are three madrigals. And we find in halacha a contradiction. On the one hand, the Mishnah very clearly says that if an ani wants, even though an ani, according to his social status, is only obligated to bring a carbon mincha for regular sin, if he wants to go and take out a second mortgage to buy an animal, he's allowed to. It's a Mishnah, he's allowed to. But yet, when it comes to oila v'yoreit, this halacha, the Gemara, it's the chinuch, if an ani wants to bring, who's required to bring, is required to bring only required to bring flour, and he decides to bring an animal to upgrade to an animal, he's not allowed, and he's not even yotze. I think even Rashi brings that he's not even yotze. He's not yotze because it's not what Hashem wants from you.
No, he said you were a thief. Why do you have to bring chatos? Because he stole. So you think, so what are you going to do now? So how, you don't have money, so how are you supposed to bring a mincha? How are you going to pay for the animal?
You can upgrade.
You stole. In other words, you're stealing again, so you want to be show off and take the bigger animal. You have to, you'll end up stealing again.
More to pay more. Okay, so we have come. So it comes out something fascinating that this is just not, is an observation, is that the Torah does allow a person to do more than what you can, than you really obligate or really can do. But the Torah does not allow you to skip steps. That's the final result. Two different categories of sins. One category A, the only two categories, rich and poor. Second category, Olivier, there are three levels. Very poor, middle class, and rich. The Torah and Halacha, when you summarize all the laws, the Torah allows you to go up one notch. The Yaitz of the Mitzvah. If you only have to bring a mincha, you can go and you can bring an animal. But if you go up two notches, lo yatsa, you have not fulfilled your obligation. This is a very powerful Liman Musa, a very powerful moral lesson Torah is teaching us, is that Torah, you could do more than you physically can, than you're capable of doing. Absolutely. You should push to do more. But you have to know your limits. You have to be careful not to go and skip steps. Skipping steps and going from bringing flour all the way to bringing animals, that's a jump that's beyond what is possible for a whole normal person, and that the Torah does not want. Okay, let's... Tzaddik, don't try to be, it'll be a little tzaddik. Don't overdo it. A little bit you can overdo, but not to overdo it too much. Okay, another quick drush. You know that I'm not a person of Gematrius or Rashi Tevas, but this one I found to be very, very, very interesting. We know there's a Yalkut Ruveni. Michal, can you fill us in on who the Yalkut Ruveni is?
I don't know exactly who it is,
it's legit.
I have it, yeah.
Right, it's from a Rishon earlier. These are
it's got things mixed in that Yalkut
later also. Okay, but yeah. Yalkut Ruveni, Yalkut Ruveni says something interesting. It says that the word melach, salt, yeah, is Rashi Tevois Mila Liyoim Ches Mem Lamed Ches. The word salt is really a code, a secret code for bris milah. That's what it says. The Yalkut Ruveni, it appears to be an ancient medrash. Milah liyom ches. And there's very legitimate makor for this, because Chazal say, bris. It says, Chazal say, there are two things in the Torah where the Torah uses the word bris. By yisurim, suffering, tragedy, Torah says the word bris, and by salt. This is the daltashpis bris,
Losashpis.
That's where it says the word. But bris also says by bris milo. Can't deny the fact that there are 13 brisos in the Torah, 13 times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also used the word bris in reference to milo. So we do see there is some connection between melach. Melach is the word bris. Yisurim is also, suffering is also associated with bris, and obviously bris milo. So there is some overlap between these three things. And what do we want to focus on? There's a very difficult question. In this week's parasha, the Torah introduces us to the halacha that every single carbon requires salt. You're not allowed to put a carbon on the mizbech before you apply salt. Kol karboncha takriv melach. However, the place where the Torah revealed this halacha is in the parasha of the mincha. We would expect that the Torah to reveal the requirement to add salt to the parasha of an animal. Because when you're grilling an animal, what is the salt accomplishing? It's drawing out the blood. And the blood is not supposed to be put on the mizbech. The blood is supposed to be sprinkled. Now the Meiri says this. Why did the Torah want you to salt every carbon? Just like you're not allowed to eat blood. We're not allowed to eat blood. That's why we have to salt our private meat that we eat for our own pleasure. When you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu meat, you don't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu treifa meat. What are you going to put on the mizbech? Meat that's full of blood? The blood was supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach or poured down the yisoid. So the lifeblood you took out in a klisharis. But what about the blood that's absorbed inside the animal? So that you can't pour on the mizbeach, but at least don't put it on the fire. At least extract it. Therefore, you have to add salt to the korban. Some say that's why they waited. There's something very bizarre. The procedure when they brought the korban on the mizbeach, they put all the meat on the ramp, and then they went to daven. They had an abridged version of davening. Why do they go to daven? So I think the Meiri says to give them soul time to work. So it takes at least quickly. They daven 18 minutes. 18 minutes. The Shulchan Aruch, you have to wait at least 18 minutes for soul to do its thing. We're marking it today to wait a half an hour. But in Ikra Adin B'diyev, you have to wait at least 18 minutes. So why do they put all of the parts of the animal in the mizbech and then run away and go daven? Because they had nothing to do. Because they had to wait for the soul to do its thing, to draw out the blood. That's what the Meiri says. So you would expect most karbanos in the Middash were karbanos of animals where you need the soul to actually remove the blood. That's the ikar. So we would derive through a drasha that you should also have salt in a kar mincha. But yet the Torah says it's just the opposite. The place where the Torah revealed the requirement to have salt is in the mincha, and through an extra we derive you also have to have salt by a carbon. Shouldn't it be just the opposite? So there are different answers to this question. One answer to this question is a carbon represents sacrifice. A mincha means giving up your life for Hashem. When you bring a carbon, you give up your life. You make believe that the animal is yourself and you give up your life. When you bring a mincha is bread, it's food. Ki loy al halechem levado yichya adam. It represents life. You serve Hashem by living. You serve Hashem by dying, and you serve Hashem by living. Salt is used not just to give flavor, salt is also used as a preservative. In ancient times, there was no refrigeration, so what was the preservative? Salt. So the Torah is telling from the two things of serving Hashem by dying and serving Hashem by living, what's the ikar and what's the tafel? Which one do I want you to preserve? Do I want to focus on the salt which is the preservative? I want you to focus on serving Hashem by living, by pouring the salt on the mincha. The salt is in both, but the Torah revealed halacha by the mincha because Hashem wants to focus on serving Hashem by living, not by dying. That is ideal. Okay, that's one reason. But I think over here, based upon this Yalkut Ruvain, we have another reason. What is the reason why Torah requires us to do bris milah, to have a bris milah? So there's a very well-known Rambam. I don't know the scientific facts, but the Rambam says that bris milah reduces a person's pleasure in marital relations. It reduces taiva, the nerve endings. What?
Assumed across the board.
That's the reason. That's assumed across the board. So Ram writes this. Is it scientifically proven to be correct? I don't know, whatever it is. But this is what it says.
Accept
this concept. It is an act of...
Which is why they resist doing it.
That's why they resist. Because that's the real proof. That's the proof. So this is a very powerful idea that bris milah, when a person is born from the very beginning of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is demanding of a human being precious. The moment of 8-day baby, all it says, you go to bris milah. What are you really doing when you go to a bris milah? You're giving the baby a mesilas yesharim, an achayvas levavas. You're telling the child, you're not here in this world to overindulge. You're here, have a good time in this world, but don't overdo it. And to bring this lesson to you, the first thing is the ultimate pleasure is obviously this inyan, and therefore we're going to reduce the degree of pleasure through a bris milah. That's what a bris milah is all about. Precious. What is the other thing, the only other thing which is equivalent to bris milah in the world of Musar? Eating food. Good food. How come there's so many restaurants on the avenue? Food, pleasure. I'll call karboncha takriv melach. Mincha. In the mincha represents what you eat. The carbon is sacrifice. It goes on. You're not eating most sacrifice. In the shlam, you eat the basar also, but many karbonas are oilos. They go to the kohanim. Does not go to the owner. A mincha. The mincha is bread. Bread is the staple of life. It represents food. Al kol karboncha. Every time you bite into a piece of bread, you bite in. You take pleasure into this world. Remember about the melach. Mila liyayim ches. Remember when you were born, the first lesson that your parents gave you, your father gave you, was don't be a bal taiva. I'll call kavanchon, you eat a piece of bread, you have to be disciplined, don't overdo it. The minig is you have salt on the table. Right? The minig is when you, Friday night, Shabbos day, you're supposed to dip the bread. Why do we dip our bread in salt? Based upon that the shulchan of the person is a mizbeach. When you dip the bread in salt, you're reenacting a carbon, but it's more than that. It's to relive this experience. Even if you don't dip Friday nights, not everyone dips Friday nights, but at least you're supposed to have on the table, the salt is supposed to be there. As a reminder, you're at a suda, you're indulging. Wonderful. That's the purpose. You're supposed to elevate the mundane, but you also have to have discipline and not overdo it. And the ultimate reminder of this concept is the bris milah, melach is milah liyoyim ches. The Yalkut Reveni remes to this idea. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Parsha begins with the pasuk of Vayidaber Yishov Marat Alehim Odom Ki Yakriv Mikem. What?
Guy sends a card.
Yeah.
So you don't salt it?
Of course you salt it. Without question you salt it.
Okay.
Of course, al kor kavancha. What a goy does not send a mincha. A goy that only sends an oila. I do not believe a goy sends a mincha. A goy sends only an animal carbon oila. Oila olais. Oilais. Okay, let's go to another idea. It could be every carbon is accompanied by a mincha. So it could be there is a mincha. A carbon must be accompanied by a mincha. I think there's a shan l'gemara if the guy has to pay for it. So I believe the guy doesn't pay for it.
Shouldn't have salt then.
No, so that's part of the procedure. Every carbon requires salt.
You're saying salt is because of
So God doesn't have a bris mila, but when he's coming to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to bring the carbon the way a carbon is brought. I don't think there's such a thing that you don't bring salt by.
But what is the purpose of that?
What? It's an oila, whatever it is. But yeah, you have to follow the rules of karbanos. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the positive word adam. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lashem. Why does the Torah choose the word adam? So Rashi tells us adam harishayim. Adam is a code for adam harishon. When he brought a karban, he did not bring min hagezel. It's very important. Rashi's precise words. Lo manem ma adam harishayim lo hikriv min hagezel. He did not bring from theft. Shakol hayashaloi. Everything belonged to him.
Did he have to put salt?
Of course, Adam. I don't know. Doesn't say. I don't know. Af atem loy sakrivu min hagezel. You should not bring min hagezel. So let me ask you a lomish shaila. Let me ask you a lomish shaila. What happens if you have an animal of hefker? You have an animal of hefker that's roaming around the street. It's hefker. A big sign. Take me. Big sign. Free. Erev Pesach special. Free. Take me. And it's roaming around the street. I grab the animal and I make a statement. I do not want to acquire this animal. And make it clear as day. Anyone who wants can have it. I am not having kavana to be kind of this animal. And I want to take this animal and offer it as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And you tell the Kohen, this is my credit. I've sinned. I want to bring an Oila. And it's not mine. It's Hefker. What? I made the Mashiach, but I made the Mashiach with the Kavan not to be Kohen. I made the Mashiach not to be Kohen. I can do that. I tell them it's not mine, but it's not Geza. It's Hefker. It says, ask the animal. The animal will tell you that it's Hefker. The animal is Hefker. I was not kind. Is it a kosher carbon? So what's the din? Is the din, does it have to be yours? Adam had both milas. Adam didn't steal. He didn't take from anything. There was no one else to take from.
You have to have smicha, right?
Yeah. So you do smicha. So who's holding you back? No, I'm having kavana not to be kind. It works.
Then it's not smicha. Smicha is transference. That's...
Smicha, you lean your hands. What's the Kenyan smicha? I'm having kavana not to be yitzah. So here is the shayla. You have kavana not to be yitzah mitzad echad. Is it gezel? No. Is it mine? No. Where does it stand? Adam Harishon had both milas. Adam Harishon was not min hagezel because there was no one to steal from. Mitzad sheni, Kenyan chatzah, he owned the world. No one was born yet before Cain and Hevel. No one owned the world. It was his. Even if he had children, his children were Katana. I don't know what their style, but it was his. Rashi goes out of his way to say both. Look at that. Rashi says, Adam blomenem Adam ma Adam Rishon loy hikrif min hagezel shehakol hayashaloi. Rashi says both. So to af atem. Now what is then? It's a very bizarre Rashi. Loi tak af atem. Loi takrivu min hagezel. Oh, but why is Rashi then? Why then does Rashi say that Adam it was his? There's something going on here.
Why is the reason? But okay. The main thing is that it wasn't Gezel.
Because I saw this question, this whole issue discussed in the Sefer called Belavavi Mishkan Ebone. So it's a set of svarim of very big Talmud Chacham. It's very deep, deep things. His answer is too deep for me to understand. I just want to use this question to perhaps another idea, to bring together another thought. Everyone knows the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why do we bring Kurbanos? The Rambam says, you know why the whole Chumash Vayikra is here? To satisfy blood lust. Is that the right expression? Blood lust. That in ancient times people had this desire. They had a desire to bring sacrifices to idols. So you know, overnight you're gonna convince the Jewish people who've been bringing sacrifices to idols for the last 210 years, whatever it is, all of a sudden, in one day, it's it, no more sacrifices to Avodah Zarah. You gotta wean them off it. The way you wean off an addict is, instead of offering the sacrifice to an avodah zarah, offer a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem doesn't need your sacrifice. Hashem doesn't need this. This whole thing. It's just to satisfy your desire to bring sacrifices, bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam says. It's a shocking Rambam. Because Noach brought Kurbanos, Adam brought Kurbanos, Hevel brought Kurbanos. There were no avodah zarah in the time of Adam, Noach.
Yeah, but he's talking about the Tikkun.
Okay, but what about Noach? What? That was a later point in time. Okay.
He brought the Karbanos, there was no one left.
But what's going on? So some want to say that Noach Tachi brought a L'shem of the Arvel Hashem Minchati, the Kimei Oilam is Noach, V'cheshanim Kadmonios is Hevel. Noach was when they was already Avodah Zarah, Hevel was when there was no Avodah Zarah. Both, we should bring the carbon like the Ramban and like the Ramban. The Ramban goes on because of this kasha, says a karbanos with dilum dvarim hoyim din beruma shaloylam. How could you possibly say that it's just a rejection of the zara?
Giving me all these rules,
there's some sanctity, there's some hold, this kedusha. So the Ramban says obviously there are very mystical things which we really don't understand. We don't know what it's all about. We need the Ruach HaKodesh, we need the Shechina. We have really no understanding of what a karbon is about until Mashiach will come, and then we'll maybe have some understanding of what a karbon is all about. But it brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. And this Machlokes is the Rambam and the Ramban is discussed by virtually everyone. Maybe one example, someone would say that nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ramban is bringing on a bama. What Meshech Chochma says, when you bring a carbon on a bama outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's what the Rambam means, is to reject Avodah Zarah. But when you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, then you're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example, the carbon has four parts. Shechita, then there's Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. The Shechita, the nice Shechita, is like the Rambam. Is you killing an animal when it comes, it's an Avodah Zarah. But the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika, this is the Ramban. With that idea, let's take another answer by saying that's the two dinim in Gezel. There are two dinim in a carbon. Number one, it shouldn't be someone else's carbon. Does it have to be your carbon? No. Just, it should not be someone else's carbon. Then there's a higher level, it should be yours. So we can suggest is the din that the carbon should just not be gezel. That's the Rambam, because what is gezel? Gezel means I'm imitating you. I'm taking something that does have no shaychus. We have no connection to Avodah Zarah by making sure the animal does not belong to someone else. That is a rejection of Avodah Zarah. Gezel doesn't just mean gezel from another fellow Jew. Gezel is symbolic of gezel taking from the Umos Sa'olam, from someone else. Klal Yisrael is one big happy family. Gezel is a connotation. Don't bring in to Yadus Avodah Zarah. It should not be min ha-gezel. It can be hefker. But if you want the higher madrake of the Ramban to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gotta be yours. Gotta be yours. Because if it's you, if you identify with this animal and you bring this animal, you're bringing yourself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the two.
Your question. So if you bring a hefker, the Shechita can take a B as long as it's not Guzzle.
Right, Rika, but it's not the Ramban.
The Rika has to be yours.
Yours?
Because you
not Muchach. One doesn't have to be yours. It's for me.
It's for me,
but not that I actually own it.
So
it's
the
not the same
like
thing.
Rambam.
Okay,
the Rika has to be ready for you first.
This is an idea. We put together these two ideas. There's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. We have here a very interesting Rashi where a carbon number one cannot be gezel, but mitzad sheni has to be yours. A nafkamina would be hefker. So we see we have two dinim in a carbon. We have a Rambam and a Ramban. We can suggest that it should not be gezel. That's the Rambam. Don't bring in foreign cultures into Klal Yisrael. Ideologies and things which are not antithesis of what Klal Yisrael represents. But it doesn't mean you're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, that you have to have it to be your property to be his scarves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No, but, when the Kohen Gadol brought the his par,
yeah,
when he brought the par for Bnei Yisrael, he was mechaper on myself, mishpachti, Kohanim, and on
Yisrael.
Why did he have to include himself if he already brought the Kohen?
What do you mean?
The first carbon he bought was just for himself.
Right.
The second time he bought for
the Kohan.
For him to say for me and the Kohan. What's the no sir?
When he heard Bado Biabi,
so we why does he have to say Bado if he already had the first carbon Bado? That means that the carbon always needs to have a person associated with it.
Okay, I want to finish. Let's just go one step further. Okay, tie this into this week's parasha as well. The uniqueness of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Parasha Chodesh. There is from this week's parasha we learned that Shechita Keshera Bizar. We're all familiar with this idea that even though there are four avodos, there are shechita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. Meikar hadin, the shechita can be performed by a Yisrael. We learned from this week's parasha because it says v'shachat es ben habakar v'krivu b'nei aharon hakoyhanim. The first time the Torah says that Aharon hakoyhanim, they are the ones that are required to enter into the equation, is from the hakrava ve'elich, which Chazal interpret to refer to the kabbalah. And we all know the story with Eli HaKoyen. There was an incident where there was a shortage of Kohanim, and Shmuel Paskin, this halacha, this tig, Parash Vayikra, Shechita Kesher Bizar. Eli said, wow, what a chiddush, what a nice chiddush, but you will marry halacha b'fnei rabo, yichayiv misa, you will be put to death. Chana came crying to Eli. Eli said, okay, I'm going to rescind, we're gonna let him live. Okay, fine. There's a very bizarre Zohar. And the Zohar says, this that it says, Shechita Kshera Bizar is only during the week. Shechita Kshera Bizar is only on... The Zohar says, a Kohen is not allowed to do Shechita. Not allowed. A Kohen, being that Shechita Kshera Bizar, a Zar is allowed to do Shechita, a Zar must do Shechita, or not a Kohen. That's what the Zohar says. A Kohen is not allowed to do Shechita. Shocking. That's not what we learned. I mean, we're assuming. So the Mefarshim, they struggle very much with the Zohar, because of course the Zohar is not to be taken literally. But the Zohar does say this, and they explain some. One of the things that I saw is because Shechita, it's a violent act. Think about it. Not everyone is cut out to be a sheichet. You ever go to a slaughterhouse? Not everyone can handle it. Not everyone can see blood. Not everyone has the koyach to do a ma'isa, to take the life of an animal. It requires a certain stomach. Not everyone can do this. So Adab, a koyein is a holy man. The koyhanim, they sit and learn. Then the malandim, then the teachers, the klal yishol, adarabah. It's not the place, being that shechita kasher bizar. We don't want the Kohanim to bloody their hands with murder. We're taking the life of animals, so they should not be doing the Shechita. Yisrael, they should not get into the habit of doing the Shechita because they have to be in the state of Tahara to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, so let the Yisraelim do it. Okay, fine. That's one step, one piece of the equation. There's a sefer called the Shar HaMelech, very famous sefer. Shar HaMelech, it says a chiddush, all of the people, the Bnei Yeshivas, they mafalpel in this Shar HaMelech, and he says, even though it's taka true on this parasha, Shechita Kesher Bizar, it doesn't give the Shechita the status of an avoida. L'may nafkemina, on Shabbos, a Zohar is not allowed to do a Ma'isa Shechita. So all the korbanos on Shabbos, the tamid, because it's not an avoida. Shechita Kesher Bizar means you don't need a ma'isa avoida to do the shechita. Zar is not a kohen. It's okay. But on Shabbos, if a zar is going to do the shechita of a korban, even a korban that's required, you have a korban tamid. This week we have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We have Rosh Chodesh. There's a korban the Musaf of the Rosh Chodesh.
It's
mutter in the Yeah, fine, but in the days Hamigdash, when they brought the Talmud Shel Shachar and the Talmud Shel Ben Arba'in,
they were allowed to change.
Music is not a Malacha Derais, so music is only his own with the Rabbanon. But this is a Malacha Derais, Shechit is an Issa Deraisa, is a Malacha Ashlech, it is one of the Lamed Tes Malachas. Musical instrument is not one of the Lamed Tes Malachas, only some of the Rabbanon, so there's no Shavuos. So he says a tremendous Chiddush, this that it says here, Shechit Kasher Bazar. Very good, that's during the weekday. During the weekday, there's a shortage of Kehanim, so we can bring in the Israel to do the Shechit. Zayar says, Adarabba, only let the Shilim do the Shechita. We don't want the Kohanim to do the Shechita. We don't want them to become accustomed to take the life of other creatures in this world. But Shabbos, Shechita is a Malacha deraisa. So even though the Karban must be brought, the Karban is Doyecha Shabbos, the Tamish Shel Shachar, Tamish Shel Ben Arba'im, but don't let the Yisrael do the Zohar, do the Shechita. It must be done by the Kohen. Why? Because when the Kohen does it, it's called an Avodah. And an avoid, the avoid is Doicha Shabbos. So it comes at an incredible chiddush, that Shechita, if it's done by a Yisrael, it's not an avoida. When it's done by a Kohen, it is an avoida. It is an avoida. Shabbos, that means an incredible chiddush, the status of Kodshim on Shabbos is a much higher madrega. Now, it's a high madriga for two reasons. Let me explain why there are two reasons. Number one, it's only done by a Kohen. And the male, when it's being done by a Kohen, it is, when it's done by a Kohen, it has the status of Avoida. But there's an even more basic reason. There's a machlekes in the Gemara, the Kohanim, are they Shluchei Didan or are they Shluchei Derachmana? When a Kohen, you ask a Kohen to do an Avoida, you ask a Kohen to do a service on your behalf, is he considered your agent, or is he considered the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Whose agent is the Kohen? So the Gemara, so there's the dilemma, it's Machlekes in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses this. But there's a general principle that anything that you cannot do, your agent cannot do. If I can't do it, the agent can't do it. So generally, the rule is, when it comes to Karbanos, Kohanim are Shluchi D'Rachmana. They're Hashem, is because who are the Kohanim bringing the Karbanos for? For me, for Klal Yisrael. We can bring the Karbanos because we're Zarim. A Zar is not allowed to do Avoda. If I can't do it, how could the Kohen, who is my agent, he can't do it either? So it must then be that when the Kohanim serve in the Midrash, they are serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're Shluchi D'Rachmana. But that's only true when it comes to Kabbalah, Haylacha, and Zrika. Because Kabbalah, Lacha, and Zrika, I can't do. And if I can't do it and they're doing it, it must be they're not my agent, they're Hashem's agent. But when it comes to the Maisa Shechita Kesher Bazar. So when the Kohen does it, even though the Kohen does it during the weekday, since technically I can do it myself, when the Kohen does the Maisa Shechita, he's really my agent. You don't have to say Shluchi D'Rachmana. He's my agent. But on Shabbos, according to the Shar HaMelech, it's a tremendous chiddush. Shabbos, since a Yisrael is not allowed to do a Maisa Shechit because it's Chil Shabbos, so we need an Avoida, so I can do it on Shabbos. If I can do it on Shabbos, it comes out that the Shechita, when the Kohen does the Shechita, the Kohanim are acting as Shluchei D'Rachmana. They are the agents that are completely given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What karbanos did Yochid?
Tamid, no karbanos. Every karban represents Klal Yisrael. Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, you bring the Machzor Shekel. Okay. All the communal karbanos.
On Shabbos, there should be a shayla of pigul if he doesn't have the kavan.
Ein achanami. That's another shayla. Ein achanami, of course. That's right. The kohen, the real kavan, 100% is pigul. So they have to trust the kohen, they're doing it correctly. So it comes out now, here's just the only point I want to make. We have a principle, simani milsa. When it comes to Aleph Tishrei, the world almost came to an end. Because one day they sang the wrong Shira. Rashan, the witnesses came late. The only reason why there are two Degesh, the whole Klal Yisrael for thousands of years, they were having 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Because if the witnesses will come late, they're already going to start off, they might sing the wrong Shira. Because they're going to think the witnesses are not coming, and it's going to be a Yom Chol. Let's say the second day Rosh Hashanah, first day Rosh Hashanah,
first day,
and the witnesses don't come. They're not here. It's the afternoon. Okay, so it's, they're not coming. So it's a work day.
Right.
So that now they're going to bring the Karbanos of the Yom of the day, and they're going to sing the Shira. The Gemara says they sang the Shira Shel Chol. And then 5 minutes before Shkia, who walks in, the Edim walk in. Today is Rosh. today's Rosh Chodesh, okay, quickly, bring the Musafim. We have plenty of time. We can bring the Musafim for Shabbos. No harm done. But we already sang the Shira that has to be done early in the day, the Shira of Chol. And the Gemara says that's a very bad simon. Because when you start off the year, when the new year begins, and you start off the year with the wrong Shira, it's a very bad omen for the year. We all know that Rosh Hashanah, Simonim, Mils, eat the head of a fish, all this funny Simonim. Why? Why? There is something to it. We don't know what this means, but this is tradition. Simoni Milsa. This Shabbos is the beginning of the new year. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos. Achodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim. It's the real beginning. And this year we start off on a Shabbos. And the Shabbos, who does the Shechita for the Tamid Shal Shachar and for the Musafim? Only Kohanim. Yisraelim, and it's not just that Kohanim do it. Yisraelim are not allowed to do it because it's chil. The male of the Kohanim do it. If the Kohanim are doing it, and we cannot do it, they cannot even be our representatives. So the first Maisa that takes place in the Avoda of the Mikdash is a statement: Shiluchei Drachmana. We are in Hashem's hands. On a regular year, when the year starts off, who does the Shechita? Doesn't matter, a Kohen, a Zar, even if a Kohen does it, he's acting as our representative. When you have a year like this, when Rosh Chodesh Nisan begins on a Shabbos, it's a very good omen. It's a very good simen. Because it's saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're in your hands. It's an expression of emuna. Shiluchei derachmana. The Kohanim that are serving, no one can make a mistake and say, we're doing it, it's our portion, we have a chelek. We recognize from the very beginning, we're in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kohanim are purely Shluchi Drachmana 100%. So the point is, we should not underestimate the Koyach of Kedusha. To finish off with one line, we say, and we know that on Rosh Hashanah, the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, on Tishrei, it says, Va'asisem. Does not say v'hikraftem. This vayikra karbonis v'hikraftem. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, when we go lifnei Hashem in din ki'ilu, you renew yourself. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a renewal. When you renewal, it's not just the lower madrega of v'hikraftem. It's a higher madrega of asisem. Well, this is also. It's also a new year tomorrow. It's not the Karbonus of the seventh month of the year of Tishrei, but it's also a new year, and we have Ato Yetzarta, and we have one word in Ato Yetzarta that we don't have in the regular Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And Ato Yetzarta, when it says, when we talk about the Karbonus, you had some of the Hashemokinu that was in Shetan of Simcha, V'yes Musa Yoyim HaShabbos Hazeh V'yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh Na'aseh V'nakriv. If we would have recited the nusach of Rebbe Rosh Chodesh, we don't say naaseh. We don't say anything. We just say the korbanos. Here we have naaseh because since it's a new year, it's like al derech dush, like on Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei, where it's asisem, and especially in a year when it's Shabbos, because then on Shabbos even the shechita, the very beginning, is on a higher madrega of shluchei drachmoninu. I have a wonderful Shabbos. Oh, yeah.